The central event of the new movie Crash is a car accident, but the movie is really about the ethnic and racial crashes of life in Los Angeles today. Take this scene, for example. An obviously well-to-do white couple walks past some fancy stores toward their car when she sees two black men, played by Chris Ludacris Bridges and Larenz Tate. She hugs her husband closer. Then the camera cuts to the black men.
Wait. You see what that woman just did? You see that?
Well, she's cold.
She got colder as soon as she saw us, though.
Aw, man, come on, I'll stop.
Man, look around you, man. You couldn't find a whiter, safer, or better lit part of this city right now. But yet this white woman sees two black guys who look like UCLA students strolling down the sidewalk, and her reaction is blind fear? I mean, look at us, dog. Are we dressed like gangbangers? Huh? No. Do we look threatening? No. Fact, if anybody should be scared around here, it's us. We're the only two black faces surrounded by a sea of over-caffeinated white people patrolled by the trigger-happy LAPD. So you tell me, why aren't we scared?
In the first of many surprises, the men then pull guns out of their pockets and hijack the car. The white couple turn out to be the Los Angeles District Attorney and his wife, played by Brendan Fraser and Sandra Bullock, who then get into an argument after they get home.
I would like the locks changed again in the morning. And you know what? You might mention that we'd appreciate it if next time they didn't send a gang member.
A gang member?
Yes, yes.
Well, you mean that kid in there?
Yes, the guy in there with the shaved head, the pants around his ass, the prison tattoo.
Those are not prison tattoos.
Oh, really? And he's not going to go sell our key to one of his gangbanger friends the moment he is out our door.
We've had a really tough night. I think it'd be best if you just went upstairs right now.
And what, wait for them to break in? I just had a gun pointed in my face.
You lower your voice.
And it was my fault because I knew it was going to happen.
Crash opens nationwide on May 6th. Few of you have had the chance to see this movie yet, but if you have questions about what you've just heard or about making movies today, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address again, totn@npr.org. Joining us is director, writer, and producer Paul Haggis, best known for his Oscar-nominated screenplay for Million Dollar Baby, and actor Brendan Fraser, whom you'll remember from the Mummy movies and Gods and Monsters, among many others. They're with us here in Studio 3A, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Oh, thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Paul, let's start with you. This is a very serious movie. It's funny at times, but it deals with serious issues of ethnic differences, racially charged situations, morally conflicted characters. This is the kind of movie you can't get made in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's why it didn't make it to the big screen. No, it's tough. I mean, I wrote that with Bobby Moresco, and I wrote Million Dollar Baby both at the same time, knowing that neither movie would ever be made. And
you wrote them both on spec.
Yes.
Meaning no money in advance.
Yeah. And then once you shoot the movie in an independent film, you also get no money. But we're very lucky to found Bob Yari and Kathy Schulman, who put the money up and believed in this film. And I was, you know, with the other case, I found Clint Eastwood. And so can't get any luckier than that.
And the Clint Eastwood, I mean, you wrote the script for Million Dollar Baby. It was a first draft, and that's the version that got made.
Yeah, believe it.
And you, I've read that you envisioned Clint Eastwood and Morgan Freeman in those roles.
And Hilary Swank.
And yes. Hilary Swank.
Yes, exactly. It's freaky. It just never happens that way. I'm just so darn lucky.
The film starts off with a crash. This is in some ways similar to a device used in the Mexican film Amores Perros a few years ago. In that movie, the crash is a time reference repeated throughout the release. It ties disparate people and their lives together. Mm-hmm. What did this crash in this movie mean to you?
Well, it's about the, you know, I mean, the movie's about our fear of strangers and the fact that, you know, we isolate ourselves now in sort of modern society because we're more and more afraid of strangers and you know, it's been happening since the 50s. But it's not until we actually, you know, we don't really feel safe in our homes. We don't feel safe isolated. We create these ersatz streets like, you know, Third Street Promenade or Universal City Walk where we go pretending we're there to see a movie, but we're mm-hmm. really there just to feel the touch of strangers. And it's only when we actually collide with each other that we end up feeling anything.
Hmm. Brendan Fraser, Paul just mentioned that when he makes his movies, independent movies, he doesn't get paid anywhere. You could be making Son of George of the Jungle. How come you're not working? You're working in this movie?
I think they already made the sequel to it. They made a quip about not being able to afford me, which is much appreciated. I wanted to be a part and continue a career that allows me to diversify roles, to work on pictures that have broad appeal, and certainly ones that I think are more thoughtful and will be referred back to in time. And certainly a film like Crash is no exception to that. I think that it's social relevance and the resonance that that carries is particularly important to today, because the storyline of this, while many of them are intersecting, are almost as if they're off the front page of the newspapers and magazines that we read today. I've never been asked to play a role like this before, and I'm Los Angeles district attorney.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the role of a man who has great ambition, but he's smacked with a moral conundrum. He has to make a decision about whether or not to further his political agenda, or to make a decision that will keep the peace and not incite what we could see have happened again, as we've seen in the past, which was a race riot, as occurred in the early 90s.
And not to give anything away, but he hesitates over this moral decision for about a nanosecond.
Yeah. He, like, as structured in many great dramatic works, and I to be fair, I think Paul is either by accident or design borrowed from the conceit of allowing there to be a social structure that provides for, in this case, say, the DA is the king. It goes all the way down to the generals and to mm-hmm. a pauper. He's handed off that responsibility to his subordinates. And I think that in that way, he's able to save face and also feel deeply conflicted and by stories and a little bit guilty, too.
Hmm. One of the interesting, this is an ensemble piece. A lot of really good actors are in it. Very complicated characters for the most part, not simple. The one who seems to have the same tone throughout is yours, the district attorney, in the fact that other people do good stuff as well as bad stuff. Other people are complicated. DA's just out for himself.
It depends. I mean, it's really easy to vilify a politician in the films, and we've seen it again and again. And I spent time actually with District Attorney Los Angeles, Steve Cooley,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I was like, I've said it before, it was like being in the world's biggest principal's office for me. But he was very easy on me, even though I told him about a jaywalking ticket that I got, and I got a lecture. About not doing that anymore. Anyway, he let me know that the office is important to him for many reasons, because there are people who care deeply about the city. They care about their job. And on that day, I learned a great deal of respect for that individual, and certainly for the task at hand. I mean, it's no easy one.
Hmm.
And in the world of the film Crash, we examine hard-hitting, thorny questions that are not easy to swallow. And it's a film that has to take a strong position no matter from what angle all the various characters come at the central issue, which at its core is how do we relate to each other as human beings, no matter what our ethnic background, status, or class.
And what's fun for me was no one escapes alive on this mm-hmm. one. No one escapes unscathed. We're talking with filmmaker Paul Haggis and confessed jaywalker Brendan Fraser. If you'd like to join us again, the number is 800-989-8255. And let's talk with Eric, who's calling us from Denver.
Mr. Haggis, Mr. Fraser, I love your work. This sounds like it's going to be a fantastic film, and I found the clip very interesting. I find it interesting. The most interesting about the first clip was the speech about, you know, hey, we're the two guys who are in the most danger here, playing on, you know, debunking racial stereotypes. And yet what do you throw at us is really what could be considered a racially stereotyped action. You're definitely trying to raise people's hackles and get people to think here. I wonder how you would respond to, hey, what are you doing, you know, giving us a lecture, and then they're pulling guns and jacking a car.
Well, I think any time you do give someone a lecture, they have to pull guns and do something about it. But yes, you certainly deserve it. it's a film that I think I wanted to make people very comfortable about immediately seeing and judging. I know this person and I know that person, and oh yes, this is a good person, that's a good person, that's a bad person, and then just start to mess with you just a little bit, and hopefully we've done that. There's a lot of twists and turns in this film, and it's all driven by characters, so I'm pretty excited about it.
You'll notice also that those two characters become almost like a sort of postmodern Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. They're in the DA's stolen vehicle, and they're driving around Los Angeles carrying on philosophical conversations about the state of racial tension and the way that the city is run.
Yeah, it's
a wonderful conceit.
Well, so it sounds like it being very character-driven, it's not so much, hey, I'm going to throw another sort of counter-stereotype at you, but I'm going to let you see these characters, and the characters are what they are.
Yeah, it's about the fact that we all embody great contradictions, and each of these characters embody those contradictions, and you never know which way a character's going to turn. Matt Dillon says something in the movie. He says, you think you know who you are. You have no idea. And that's really what the film is about. We all are very comfortable knowing who we are until we're tested, and then we find out.
We really have no idea.
Yeah.
And Mr. Fraser, please do it. Keep doing the great work you're doing.
Appreciate
both of you. Love it. Thanks very much for taking the call.
Thanks for the call.
All the best. Thanks.
We're talking about the new movie, Crash. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is not the first time you two have worked together. People will remember the television series Due South.
In which we didn't work together.
You didn't work together.
No, close. But we should have. We should have worked together because I stole the character for Due South from.
Brendan
Fraser's
work.
But would have worked together, being Canadians.
Yes, if just blame just Canada.
Exactly. So that question sort of went nowhere, did it?
It sort of did. So we're going to have to get another caller on the line and see if we can bail myself out of this situation that I've just created for myself. Hello, Nancy. You're going to help me? You're on the line from Minneapolis.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Is this Talk of the Nation?
Yes, it is. You're on the air.
Well, my husband and I see about 2 to 3 movies a week. We tend to, almost 90% of the time, go to the indies or the foreign films, the reason being that the Hollywood movies are, in our judgment, too expensive to make and ridiculous to spend that kind of money, but B, they're all special effects, there's a lot of violence. It draws a lot of kids into this, but we personally don't feel entertained. And an interesting thing about it is that frequently when there's the big blockbusters get to the dollar theaters where you see it for a buck, we will wait until that time and then think back to how many million tickets were sold on opening night when this particular movie opened. And it'll be like millions, you know.
Hmm.
And we, at the time, will think, gee, look at all the people that went, and, oh, you know, maybe it is a good film. So then when it's down to a dollar, we'll see it, and we'll go, what in the world could have fooled many people?
Hopefully you'll like our film, because it's we get all these terrific actors. I was very fortunate to have all these wonderful actors to do this for nothing. And it was a very low budget. It's an independent film, and I think it's the best of both worlds. At least for me, it was. I was able to do something that was very unique and something that, at least unique to me, something I wanted to say, and yet get terrific actors to star in it.
If I could just say thank you for actually seeing your films in theaters.
Yes.
Because so many of us see them on DVDs or at home or on other formats or wait until it comes out on TV.
And thank you for saying 2 or 3 a week. Too.
Yes,
we like to encourage more people to
do that. Whether they're good or bad or nothing, when I watch a film, if I get something out of it or if I don't, I've learned something. So for me, I find value even in so-called bad movies.
Nothing makes me feel better than a bad movie, actually.
So I agree with you on that comment. It's interesting. We see a lot of live theater, Minneapolis having more live theater than any place in the country except New York. And so we also see a lot of that. And people will say this isn't good or this movie isn't good. And I will always say, you know, I've never walked out of a live theater production without having gotten something from that production. And the same is true with the movie, but the Hollywood movies make it hard to find anything.
You know, I think there's a real shift in what's going on now. I think you're finding more and more independent films. You look at the Oscars that are really grabbing people's attention and are getting the promotion that they deserve.
And interestingly enough, those movies now are going to the mainstream theaters because, you know, we have the art house theaters really show the indies first and the foreign films, and they didn't ever used to go anywhere. They just disappeared after a week in the art house
It's marketing.
Now they are actually, because of the press and everything talking about the actual story and how good it was, like Sidelines and some of these other things, you know, they are going to the mainstream theaters that used to handle just Hollywood blockbusters.
Okay, Nancy, thanks very much for the phone call.
Okay.
Let's see if we can squeeze in one more caller. Ed. Ed's with us from Cherry Hill, New Jersey.
Hello.
Hi. Yep, make it quick, Ed.
Okay. Thanks so much for having me, guys. I enjoy both of your work here. I'm actually an independent filmmaker here in, on the East Coast, and I wanted to get your thoughts on how important you think it is to have like a good script written with characters and a good plot, as opposed to getting like big names attached to a project.
Well, because it's really easy. Like, the way to get the big names attached to a project, and you need them these days to make an independent film. But the way to get them is to write a great script, and I can't say that I have a great script, but I was lucky enough to.
We just have a few seconds left, Brendan.
He had a very good script. He's being modest. And Ed, the thing is it's difficult all around to make films. And if you're looking for any advice, I'd just say hang in there. But the truth is, if it was easy, everybody would be doing it.
Thank you both very much. We appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Writer, director, and producer Paul Haggis, recently nominated for an Oscar for a screenplay for Million Dollar Baby. His film Crash comes out on May 6th nationwide. Our thanks also to actor Brendan Fraser, one of the actors who stars in the film Crash. They both joined us here in Studio 3A. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.